For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley, and football starts tonight.
Yes, it does.
Kansas City Chiefs will host the Baltimore Ravens. What a good day. Good morning, Brian.
What up, JP?
This time tomorrow, we'll be at D-City Smokehouse. I don't know what time they get that smoker up and running.
Oh, it starts smoking at night.
I'll be ready at 10 a.m.
They'll be smoking. The smoker will be smoking during the game tonight.
I imagine Jeff will be too. There's a lot of reasons to be excited tonight.
Yes,
since I took a shot, let me go say good morning to
Jeff
the boys.
Jeff did say yes, we will.
Yeah. Good morning, Jeffrey. Good morning, Landini. How we
you
doing?
Didn't hear what he said. He said, I said the smoker will be smoking tonight. He said, Jeff, maybe too.
Okay, so, all right. Busy day. Second day of preparations for the Commanders getting ready for Tampa this weekend.
Yes.
You know, it's tough for me to focus. Like, when we get to talk to the players and go in the locker room and everything, you know, it's easy to lock in there. But knowing there's a game tonight, knowing there's a game tomorrow night, an NFC East game, I would add,
yep,
with the Eagles playing, it's just such a great, like, exciting time. I think I'm going to get some wings and make some wings tonight. Doesn't that sound like a good plan?
Yeah, go for it. I'm going to turn on the TV. I'm going to pour me some old brown and I'm going to sip and watch the game.
Hell,
I mean, I get excited for it, but you know what? I'm not overly excited when it's not a team in the town, like it's your home team playing. So,
sure.
Yes, I'm excited for football, but Like we're doing our little tailgate thing next week. We're not doing it this week because next week is the home game. So it has a little different feel. You know what I mean?
What tailgate? What do you mean? What is your tailgate thing?
You forgot. Friday we're going to do something. You were talking to Stevie about it. And we got our buddy Donnie going to come in with some stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's next Friday?
So next Friday we're doing it. We're going to have a real tailgate. We're going to have some drinks, all that. Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, anytime you get to watch the Chiefs is something that I try not to take for granted.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you're watching Mahomes, who is excellent. I mean, I think if you had to argue the Mount Rushmore of, like, quarterbacks right now, Mahomes is probably already on it.
Yeah.
I try to take a real nod to the pass. I think you got to have, like, Montana, Elway, Brady, obviously, and I would have had Peyton, but I kind of think Mahomes has surpassed that now.
Yes, he has.
Peyton was fantastic,
I'm a text to the thread what I just got from somebody in my family. If you excited about football, Jay? They sure in the hell excited about football, too.
Who would you put as your top four quarterbacks ever be?
Montana, Brady,
Some people would say Marino, even though he never won one.
Marino is one at this point. Peyton, and then I have Pat in there, but I can't just go right now. He got to play some more years for me. But he is on his way to being the best, I think, if he continues like this. But I can't just throw somebody after 5 years ahead of guys that played 19 years.
I think Pat's played 7 years now.
Pat is on his, like, sixth year, I think.
I think going into year seven, we're splitting hairs. I would agree with you, but he already has 3 rings.
I understand.
Like, I would agree with you if it was just like,
what if he wins no more from this point forward? So I'm still, I still.
Yeah, but B, he's already got more than Elway.
I understand what you're saying, but I have to also, you asked me what I think. So I'm going to tell you what I feel.
Yeah.
I still have to let it, because if things go south right now, if he played great the first 5 or 6 and then he plays awful the next 7 or 8, then I'm not going to sit up there and still put him ahead of those guys. But I can tell you like this, it's not like I don't have a placeholder for him already in there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I don't expect him to go south. I'm just saying I like to wait and see.
Good morning, everybody on stream. We're up and streaming. B-Mitch has a white shirt. I have a green T-shirt hoodie thing, I would describe this as.
I just put in a text thread, JP. This is what I just got.
All right. Who's this from? I like the hat. Yeah, yeah, I like the hat.
I think I need that hat.
I think you do need that hat, B. Yeah. Although it looks expensive. It looks like a Louis Vuitton Commander's hat or something.
Nah.
Let's run kind of the injury report from yesterday and level of concern for Washington as we get closer and closer. I'd start with what is clearly the really good news is Brandon Coleman fully participated in practice. We got to talk to Coleman afterwards. He was extremely upbeat. I thought Dan Quinn was pretty clear. It seems like he's ready to start Coleman. Who you got at starting left tackle as of Thursday at 10:10 a.m., Coleman or Lucas?
Based off the excitement, Coleman. Based off of the way that they've talked about it and stuff like that and how Dan seemed excited and all. And then once a guy goes full go, you feel he's going to be there. But like I said, you never know.
Certainly. Never know. I mean, things could happen tomorrow. I asked DQ specifically about Coleman because do you remember a few weeks back he said, you know, I don't need to see him in the preseason to start him week 1, but I'd want to, yeah. Right? So I asked him, I was like, all right, well, the preseason's over and you didn't get to see him. How do you feel? And he gave me a good answer. He said, it's an example of you can only control the things that you can. So would it have been better to see him in the preseason? Yes, but okay, that is not how it went down. The player's really put in the work, and he's really ready to go. So, yep. Yes, we're excited to get him into it. Would it have been better for him and anybody else? Of course, but like I said, you can only control what you can control.
Some of those questions would have been answered. You wouldn't have to worry about certain things. Every season, I don't care if you've been in the league 1 year, first year, 10 years, everybody wants to get through that first play, that first series. He hasn't played that yet. So not only is he concerned, the coaches are concerned. They want to know where he's at. And you may not find it out until the ball is snapped. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that's the whole thing about it, you know, because like I told you, every time I played a game, I return a punt. I mean, a kickoff. I was still nervous until I caught the first punt. You know, because it was one thing that you can get 10 of them and all 10 are different. So I was more concerned about that than anything else in the game every time I went into a game. So the first season, although I went through preseason, when I started the regular season, you don't want to start off bad. So that worried me until I caught the first one.
You know what? I appreciate Jaden Daniels has been crystal clear that he gets butterflies before every game.
Yep.
And I love a young man like that that is confident enough to admit what is probably true for 98% of players. You know
probably
what I mean?
Probably 100%, like, Jay. Everybody gets it. Some people don't admit it. I heard Patti LaBelle said a long time ago that if you don't get nervous for things that are important, it's not very important. And I would think that starting off your first game of your season and playing a thing that you get paid for, if that's not important, then that's on you. But, yeah, you get butterflies. Well, I didn't like to eat before because butterflies make you start to get bubble guts. You
have bubble guts is trouble. That's nobody suffers from more bubble guts than Lamar Jackson. Bubble guts yes, get you indeed. In trouble.
we know it's important to him.
You know, as we get closer and closer and closer, the atmosphere in Kansas City will just be electric tonight. You know what's, I mean, really, really sad is this will be the first time that I suppose football community, as you want to say it, I believe.
Parade stuff?
Yeah, well, I guess they probably had a preseason game. But, you know, that doesn't bring the same.
Same energy.
I mean, that parade thing was so awful. And you hope tonight those folks are able to kind of rally around all the good that football brings rather than the awful.
And before we go, all our condolences go to Atlanta, all the things that happened down there yesterday.
Of course. All right. B. Here's an area of concern, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We've known about the Johnny Newton situation, and there's a level of comfort there because it's a young player that they're really just trying to take care of in advance of what they hope is a long career,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Johnny Newton was limited at practice yesterday. Now that they actually have to list it out, they've been telling us like soft tissue, and these guys operate like a hockey team. They want to give as little information as possible about these injuries.
Very smart.
But now the injury report dictates that you got to list it, and because of gambling and everything, now these teams get fined if they mess with it too much. So you get some actual information. So Johnny Newton is on the injury report with a foot.
Okay.
Like, foot was the problem in college. Then he had another procedure once he was drafted. Like, the foot this is now documented.
They say he's on for a foot. What did they list him as? Probable, whatever? Because you can still
list that. They got rid of probable. Huh? Probable no longer
exists.
So
what do they have left? Because they don't have to be 100% honest on those things.
He was limited.
So we go limited. We can go foot participant. That's just limited and foot participant. That's all they say?
And DNP. DNP.
So those are easy. What if he were to go full?
Basically, that means you're not going in team drills.
Yeah, but I'm saying
that's
would
more
know?
Or less what it means.
Who would know? Because they make y'all leave. They make the media leave before they go into practice, don't they?
That's correct, but the league has really cracked down, and these teams get fined on this stuff now. So could they do that? Sure. Listen, Dan Quinn told us with Johnny Newton, like, there's no surprise here. That's not what I'm at all – I don't even want to say alarmed by, but concerned by. Like, Newton's going to be limited today, and I won't be shocked if he's limited Friday, and then he's inactive for Sunday. I do not expect him to play this week.
Mm-hmm.
And – in a vacuum, I don't think that's that big of a deal because you have John Allen and Daron Payne ahead of him. They'll be able to elevate this dude Sheldon Day from the practice squad Saturday night. Like, okay, it all works, right? Tampa runs the ball pretty well. Rashad White had a good season last year, even if the analytics community thinks he gets too many carries and not enough explosive plays. Whatever. The concern to me is that Daron Payne's also on the injury report. Daron Payne, yesterday, back. The injury is listed as his back, and he was limited. Payne's a pro. He's done this a long time. Mm-hmm. It's week one. I expect him to go. But you don't love to see that, especially with a back.
Yeah. But the thing of it is, and I said this maybe 2 days ago, they didn't play in preseason. So when you start playing football, you go through the natural things of football. You get little ailments here, ailments there, but as you stated, he's a pro. He's been here a while. He can deal with it probably. The rookie that comes in may not be able to deal with certain things.
Right.
So, like you said, you expect Daron to go. I expect him to go. But I also expect him and John, even Bobby, for the first 3 to 4 games, they may have to deal with stuff now that everybody else dealt with before. Because they already practiced. They already played in 3 preseason games, 2 for the most part. So now they're going through it. I mean, they're human beings.
Right.
They're not machines. So, when you start it, you got to go through those natural things.
They are thin at the D-tackle spot, though. If, like, you got Allen and Mathis, then Newton and Payne. Those are your 4 D-tackles.
Yeah.
2 of them are on the week 1 injury report. 1 fully expected. The other, I think this is, I don't want people to be concerned about this, but you don't like to see Daron Payne on the week 1 injury report with a back thing.
You don't like seeing it, but I mean, I'll be honest, man. That Wednesday report sometimes is kind of like that first 53-man roster they put out.
The first depth chart?
Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I agree with that. I bet by Friday he'll be full. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One guy that Mariota's still on this thing. When he missed time in the preseason, we heard it was the groin. He's now on the injury report, limited with a chest injury. I don't know what to make of that, but in the 2 months Marcus Mariota's been putting on this uniform, there's been a groin and now a chest.
Uh-huh.
Trent Scott, also in the injury report, with a knee, and they said he was limited. B, I don't know if you saw, I think you were here that day, but I don't know if you were taping stuff or what. The brace I saw Scott in, a couple, maybe 10 days ago or so,
mm-hmm.
It was a no-joke brace. And it looked significant, and it was mid-thigh to ankle. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's going to happen there with Trent Scott, but then if you're considering your tackle depth, Coleman, you hope, is starting at left tackle for you, right?
Uh-huh.
Coming back from this shoulder, pec, perhaps a labrum injury. So naturally, his backup, or maybe even the guy that ends up starting in Cornelius Lucas. The other side, you've got Wiley, who was not on the injury report. Again, a veteran player, has done this a long time. But Wiley missed most of preseason. And then you've got Scott backing him up, who's on the injury report with this knee thing. The edges of the O-line and the interior of the D-line go into week one with some, there were already question marks, frankly, but these are some new question marks.
Yeah, but the thing of it, they had a lot of guys practicing and playing at positions just in case. And like for me, I think every team is going into the league with somebody in some position where you're concerned about it. I'm not overly concerned about this right now. Because you know what? They put together a team, and they got the people that they felt should be making this football team. And if those guys can't go, the guys behind them need to be stepping up. I mean, once they get into the game, we'll figure that out. We'll see what's going on. But injury reports are injury reports. And I know what the new rules are, but I know a lot of coaches play around with their injury report, just like a lot of them do. They can, if they say
Friday's the one that matters.
Yeah.
So if
this is happening Friday, then I'll have a level of concern. Today, I don't care.
If it's happening Friday, I think there'd be significant concerns. But the thing with Mariota, during the portion that the media was out there yesterday, which is just individual drills, and for quarterbacks generally just means standing around throwing, he didn't even go through those. Now, I have less concern there because the plan is for Mariota not to play anyway.
Yeah.
But
well, I think that young man, Driscoll, he did enough in preseason to where I think they're comfortable if he had to go in and finish up a game.
Sure. And, dude, for a billion different reasons that have nothing to do with Jeff Driscoll or Marcus Mariota, let's hope to God we're not seeing anybody but Jaden Daniels in Tampa. Okay, I want to have a discussion. I want the boys in the aquarium, I want the two of us, and then we're going to open these phone lines up. Because yesterday we wanted to open phones, it just got so damn crowded once these practices start, and we got news coming in, there's going to be news around the league. Jamar Chase might be getting a deal done. Like, there's just so much happening, right? As we look at this Commanders football team, as we consider all the spectrum of options of what could unfold this season, there's a level of confidence you can have in some of these guys, and a level of unease you can have in some of these guys. Who are you most confident in on the Commanders roster? Who are you least confident in on the Commanders roster? Let us know. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Your calls, our answers, next.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, we have something a little different for you now. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Gambler.
Finley, 1067 The Fan. Taking your calls right now, 800-636-1067. What's the Commanders player or coach or mascot? I don't know. Whatever you think. What are you most confident in this season? What do you believe in? What do you not feel so great about? B, you want to kick it off or you want me to kick it off?
You kick it off.
Okay. I think there's a reason he is the first player that they gave a big extension to. I mean, this is the first internal decision to reward somebody. They made some internal decisions to cut people or to turn down options or to trade people, right? Like, they made some internal decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But the first internal decision that Adam Peters has made was to give Cosme a contract extension.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for Cosme because he's now got $45 million guaranteed in his bank account. And it's good for Washington because now they get a guard that within 2 years will be paid below market. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it works. And you build continuity. He's a good team guy. I think of all the things, I like John and Duran. I look at that, have some questions. I like Bobby Wagner a lot to answer this question. I think Terry McLaurin would make a lot of sense to answer this question, 4 straight 1,000-yard seasons. But I'm going to go a little different here. I'm going to go with Cosme based on what Adam Peters is showing us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get too specific because I feel like a lot of people pile on here. What I'm least confident in are the outside corners. Maybe they will be way better. I hope I am proven wrong because Witt and Quinn have a really impressive track record and history of getting corners to play their best, but I'm going to need to see that before I believe it. So there you have it. Cosme and the outside corners.
I'll go with Terry. Okay. I think ultimately – offensive line, defensive line, they have like a thankless job for the most part. If they play well, you don't really know it because it's like everybody look at the skill positions. So I'll go with Terry because he's played with underwhelming quarterbacks, and he always produced. You know, I believe with a better quarterback, he's going to be able to take a step and do the things that the people that don't understand what good football is think he needs to do. My least, the least confidence, I'll go with the cornerbacks as well, but I'm going to need to have more from the pass rush and not just outside, interior as well. So that is affected because we don't have that up front. So it's a combination where I think overall I'm going to have the pass rush get better so the cornerbacks can be better. So –
when we say pass rush there?
When we say we lacking the corners, we don't trust in the corners, we're probably thinking that the pass rush won't be good. So I'm going to need more pass rush. So I haven't seen it at the level we need to have it. So I'm going to go with that right now.
I like that. I mean, B, we read this yesterday on the show, I think. Farrell and Armstrong combined for 11 sacks last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's your starting two DNs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but see, Armstrong didn't play like 100 most of the plays either. So, I mean, the thing about it is I don't believe that we want to – like, just like the coach said, we care about what the guys do good. I don't care to talk about everything that they may have not done good last year. I care to talk about what we think they're going to do better. And I think the coaching – if we talk about players, so I'm going to tell you – what my most confidence in is coaching in the damn front office. They seem to be doing the right things. You know what I mean? And getting people right and doing the right thing. I think to compare them to that crap we had last year, nah, that's unfair to them. I think they're better coached already.
I mean, the staff, if you just compare the experience level of the staffs, it's night and day. I mean, it's dramatically different. I think that's fair. I wish you had you pulled your move that you do for Heard It Here First, where you're not going to parlay, bang, I'm parlaying. I already tweeted that you were most confident in Terry McLaurin, so I hope that's okay.
I'm cool with that.
All right. Jeffrey.
My most confident? I got to go with Terry, too. He's the only one proven to be consistent each year. And I'm worried about, I want to say the pass rush, but I'm also worried about the cornerbacks. That's yeah.
And they do go hand in hand, to B's point.
Yeah, they do, but we've seen plenty of times last year, and I know we can't keep basing everything off last year because it's a new team, but we've seen the pass rush get there sometimes, and we also seen some blown coverages, some bad blown coverages. So hopefully it's better, but that's the weakest link until proven otherwise to me.
Okay. Landini?
I'm going to say that the player that I have the most confidence in is Bobby Wagner. I think he's something like an 8-time All-Pro. I trust that guy to...
He made the 2010s Hall of Fame team.
Yeah, I trust that guy to handle what he needs to handle. And the guy that I actually have the least confidence in is the kicker, Cade York.
Really?
Kicking's been a bit of a disaster here for the last couple of years. And although I think the situation is better than it was a month ago, this was still a guy that another team looked at and said, we can do without him. So that doesn't inspire confidence in me.
Now, in the kicker's defense, it's not like he was on the street. He was on a team that
Wasn't
had
this
another
guy
kicker.
Like a fourth-round pick relatively recently.
Fourth-round pick in 22.
Yeah, that's not good. This is like his third team. I don't love that.
Yeah, I mean, kicking is I honestly think, depending how it goes with this tit, I actually got to talk to him yesterday, which was pretty fun. It was the first time I really chatted with him, and I've said the stat so many times, how blown away I am by that 2019 LSU offense, that he kicked 93 extra points in a year, which is just beyond bananas. I don't know. He seems cool. Seems like a good mindset. We'll see how it goes. I'm not as unconfident in the kicker, but that's a fair spot to have some worry. Let's go to these phone lines. We got our guy Jupe on the line ready to kick us off. Jupe, who you most confident in? Who you least confident in?
JP, D. Mitch, what's going on, fellas?
What up, brother?
Hey, not too much. I'm going to do like you, JP. I'm going to try to go outside the box. I'm most confident in B-Rob and Eckler. I feel like them two is going to beat off of each other with arrival of Anthony Glenn. And if Jaden propels the pass game, like those two could have a big year this year. And Lanfield kind of stole my thunder as far as my least confidence in the kicker. Don't really know too much about the guy, so I'm not too sure about him. But, of course, I'm going to keep an open mind and just watch him throughout the season. That's all I got for you guys.
All right, brother.
Okay. That's fair, man. We're not feeling great about the kicker. I understand it. Definitely some questions there. They just brought him in.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about this kicker?
I mean, I'm saw him do enough to be down on him yet. Look, they made a trade for him. So I feel that I'm going to have to let him go through the first game before I start making a decision on him.
I agree. And, like, you got to at least let this kid – play a little. They traded for him. I understand it's a conditional seventh. A conditional seventh is not a big price tag, but I do think there is reason to be okay with him. All right, let's take one more call on this. James in Fredericksburg. Jimmy, who are you most confident in? Who are you least confident in?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I never knew how bad this organization was. I mean, really bad over the last 20 years until we finally had some structure. Unbelievable the way from owner to general manager to coach on down that we finally have structure. I'm so excited, and that's my positive. Here's my negative. My negative is going to be to some of these Commanders fans that aren't going to realize that this is a process. If we start losing a couple games in a row, this is a process. Please be patient with these guys. We are going in the right direction. That being said, we're going to go 8-9 this season, and I think that's going to be a very successful first campaign for Dan Quinn and the boys.
Thank you, man. Good call.
Thanks for the call, bud. Great call. I just got a submission via text message from one Chris Kerwin.
Uh-huh.
For most confident, B, that honestly, this might be on us. This might be a hole in our decision making. Tressway.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna give you the punter. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm not gonna talk about the punter or the kicker at this point. because those guys come in and do things that you know, I mean, they got one of those jobs where when they make a mistake or do good, you know it immediately.
Right.
But if they're perfect all year and the people that we're talking about aren't, we're not going to win many games. Sure. So we need the other people to do something well. But look, Tresh is number one. Tresh has been the MVP for the last how many years?
That's trouble.
He's number one. So that's why I didn't say anything about Tresh.
When your punter is the MVP, you got trouble. It's as simple as that, period. What you don't want to have trouble with is football is starting. We got NFL tonight, college football last weekend. Everybody loves betting on football. It is the best. It is like a perfectly medium rare ribeye or something you do in the privacy of your home with your wife. It is the best. But you got to be smart, people. You heard me. It's September, and it's not only the start of football, but it's also Responsible Gaming Education Month. If you decide to get in on the action this season, the American Gaming Association wants to remind listeners to have a game plan when it comes to betting. A solid game plan includes betting with legal sports books only, knowing the odds, keeping it fun, and sticking to a budget. Please go to haveagameplan.org to learn more. Brought to you by 106.7 The Fan's proud responsible gaming partner, the American Gaming Association. Got the eye of the tiger, B. I just quote tweeted the B. Mitch Finley account graphic going to D-City Smokehouse tomorrow, and I'm letting the world know I'm getting wings and brisket. I'm speaking my truth, B. Mitch. I just want you to know that. Because everybody thinks they're so funny, I'm going to say something by not saying something. I got no comment on the content team and what may have happened. That whole thing is incredibly bizarre, and there's a football game, and that's going to be my focus. I don't know how you feel, Brian, but I got a feeling you have no desire to talk about folks from the content
no.
team.
No, just people. I would just say everybody be smart.
Yeah.
If you're on a date, you better talk about the date. That's it.
Yeah, man. That whole thing is just ugh. Is all I have to say. I mean, I suppose the news is if folks are waiting for it. I saw this from Nikki Jabala. I'm sure the team. I don't think they'll announce it, but if anybody asks, they'll confirm it. The gentleman that was in that video, the previous VP of content, has been fired. No other option there. I got some submissions via the stream and via Twitter about the player fans are most confident in. Our guy Eddie D, most confident in Bobby Wagner, least confident in the right tackle. How do we feel, Brian? You made a point that we think this team's going to be better coached. The vibe is incredibly different. Wiley struggled at times last year.
Yep.
I think you could point to a lot of factors. I think you had a quarterback that held onto the ball too long. I think Gates really had them kind of digging out of a hole early in the season. I think there wasn't enough balance offensively. But he, as an individual player, also had some struggles. How much better do you feel about Wiley going into this season?
I feel much better because of the way he finished, you know. And I think early on he struggled a lot. And then as the season went on, I thought he played better. You know, so this year I expect better because, you know, listen, I just think everything everybody's in a better situation this year. I think everybody last year, man, it was too much mudslinging going on out there. You had coaches against coaches, players against players. Nobody could get nothing right. Right now people seem to be in tune, and I expect him to play better than he played in that early part of the season.
I'm with you. I got one. This is from Private User 01. He said, I'm most confident in Adam Peters. I'm least confident in the digital media department, which is kind of funny. I'll let you get one joke off. I actually think the content they put out is awesome. The content they put out around the draft was really, really good. As we get into this thing, I'm just so excited for football to be coming.
Uh-huh.
Commander Tequila in the stream says, I'm very confident in Brian Robinson, Terry McLaurin, De'Ami Brown, and Jaden Daniels. To me, it's tough to be confident in De'Ami Brown. I think you could be excited. I think you could be
eager to see him. They can feel he's taking that step now. They can feel confident. See, we judge stuff on a different level than what other people are. Some other people, sometimes when they see a guy finally hit it, they can feel confident in him that he's going to continue doing what he did throughout the preseason.
You know, it was really funny, B. So yesterday we're in the locker room, and it's the first time the media was in the locker room since locker cleanout back in January.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, during training camp with the bigger rosters and everything, they keep us outside. We just get to talk to guys as they're leaving the field. And the looks on players' faces when they walked in and saw us in there again, I wouldn't exactly describe it as excitement. You know what I mean? Yeah. Actually, I should see from Kerwin if I can get this audio because it was pretty funny. So we go over to Brian Robinson. And B-Rob is a good person. And, like, I mean, when you see him sign autographs for an hour after every single training camp, like, he's a good dude that means well on this planet, mm-hmm. right? But he doesn't love talking to the media. I mean, one, he's a Bama guy. Two, he's just a quieter guy. And so we start chatting with him yesterday, and there's cameras and lights and all the stuff. And we're like, I don't remember who asked him. I want to say it was maybe Nikki. Was like, oh, Brian, you excited to see us again? And he just kind of rolled his eyes. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm really excited to see you guys.
But and I have then, to say this. Think about this for a second. Think about somebody coming to your bedroom to interview you.
B, I get it. We got a job to do. They got a job to do. I get it. I am never bothered by the guys that don't really feel like dealing with us. I think post-game situations are a little different where there are some true obligations. But I always try to be respectful of guys and ask before I just lean in with a camera. But, you know, there's a million ways to skin a cat, regardless. Mm-hmm. So B-Rob's like, oh, I'm really excited to see you guys. And then I was like, well, are you excited for football? He's like, that I really am excited about.
Yeah. Which was funny. I was lying about the other thing.
Yeah. But Brian Robinson has been pretty clear that he thinks last year he was underutilized, frankly.
Yep.
I mean, they just didn't run the ball, so the running back, it's inherent for a running back to feel like that. Any skill position player, running backs and wideouts, always want the ball. And if they don't, there's a problem.
If they don't, that's just how those guys are wired. Team.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. And I think B-Rob is really excited. I think there are real roles for B-Rob and for Eckler in this offense. Between talking with Brian Robinson about how he kind of feels like he's got something for the league that they maybe don't know what's coming. And then we talked to Nick Allegretti, who, credit to Nick Allegretti, Brian, are you aware of how bad the Chicago White Sox are?
Yeah.
They won last night over the Orioles. I'll own it. I believe they're 32-109. Maybe it's 33-109.
That's awful.
Depending on last. Yo, their run differential, B, I imagine this is cruising towards some sort of record. They're -303 in run differential.
Yeah, you shouldn't be winning a game when you're that bad.
I mean, that is bad. Yeah. But Allegretti, Chicago guy, was wearing his White Sox shirt yesterday. I had to give him credit.
But it's more about the city than it is the actual team. He can't be very proud of that team right there.
No, but a lot of people in that city kind of just root for the Cubs. So I think if you're wearing a White Sox shirt and they're 32-109, like, you're a real fan of that team, man.
We might have to check his mental sometimes.
I asked him about it yesterday. He's like, oh, man, they're so bad. But, yeah, that's my squad. What is far more important, though, is Allegretti. I asked him, hey, man, like, how much of this offense have we actually seen, right? And he's like, preseason, we really don't show much. We want to play fast. We want to get to the ball fast. He said Cliff has about a zillion plays, and we cannot wait to get out on the field.
Yeah.
That, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that, too. And I've talked to people. I did interviews before, and they were like, you know, well, man, they didn't seem to go down the field. I say, who really goes down the field every time in preseason? The thing about it is, I see the analytics community and a lot of these analysts want to tell you about what people don't do in preseason. They haven't been doing it for years in preseason. Now, just because Josh McDaniel, I mean, the guy that down there, the dude in Miami, what they do, they think everybody's going to do it. Mike McDaniel. Like, I'm like, ultimately, most teams do nothing in preseason. They want to just see how good somebody is one-on-one against somebody.
Here's to that crowd that is concerned that, you know, the offense didn't use the middle of the field enough or whatever the concern, Terry only lined up on the left-hand side. When Jaden Daniels was on the field, he was out there for three drives.
Mm-hmm.
On all three drives, they had a scoring opportunity.
Yeah.
One time they scored, one time they kicked a field goal, one time they missed a field goal.
Yep.
They showed so little. Ertz didn't play whatsoever. You and I both think Ertz could be in line for a pretty legit season,
mm-hmm.
assuming he can stay healthy. I just – whatever happened in preseason, block that out of your brain and just focus on week one.
Yeah.
To help us do that, Pete Prisco, national NFL writer for CBS Sports, really, really smart columnist, has been doing this a long time, joins the program.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.